Blog Talk Radio.
This is a pre-recorded episode, and unfortunately, our co-host, Mr. Jay Logan, is not available to be with us today, but he will resume with us either this Wednesday or next Wednesday. I am so happy to have Mr. Evan Ngore on the phone with us from Kenya. Mr. Ngore, welcome, and how are you?
Thank you so much. I'm fine, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, Ms. Ngore. Ms. Ngore, you know, as you know, the Nairobi Summit is happening in Kenya, okay, with the United Nations over the next 3 days. And I thought it's so important to have you on here to talk about climate. You know, last year we saw you on the Global Citizen, and our group happened to look at it and share it on Twitter. Okay.
Yes.
I had a few questions for you because, you know, this year is really about women, you know, and the empowerment of girls in Kenya and all over the world with the ICPD there. So we're going to start off with just, you know, a couple of questions, and it's going to be a bit of a short what we would have through your lens, you know, see what life is like, okay, there in Kenya.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first question we have is, first of all, Mr. Ngore, tell our audience how you got started in art and what kind of art you do exactly.
Okay. What I am really is a creator and a sculptor, and I use found objects, and I've always loved found objects from a young age, and I've been an artist all along, been encouraged by my dad from a young age, and that has developed and evolved through the years, even after the time I finished my degree course. So I've been continuing doing the same, and I major on themes to do with nature and recycling and things that affect our climate and ways that I can impact people through what I create and through my actions.
Okay. Can you tell us what kind of objects you use in your art?
So I use found objects, anything from old clothes from the second-hand market in Gikomba, and old radios, metal, plastic, rubber, old bottles, you know, like, and old wood, driftwood, and old wires, which I combine to create sculptures, jewelry, and other home embellishments.
Well, my other question to you is, do you use plastics too?
Yes, I do use plastic, but at a very small scale.
Okay.
Because mostly I prefer to use scrap metal, driftwood, wires. Yeah, you know, but plastics in a minimal.
Well, how did you get involved? Like, how did you start with this? When did you pick up, like, your first piece of art? Or, you know, or I wouldn't even, well, I call it art because it is art what you do. But when did you pick up, like, you know, develop this, like, I'm going to use garbage or recycled garbage or recycled metals or, you know, bottles or whatever materials that you use? What had you start doing this? How did you, like, really get started in this?
That started when I was in university. So we had this unit that we were supposed to create artwork from unconventional materials. So we were challenged by our lecturer to not buy anything and create art from found objects, old bags, paint with, you know, animal blood or soil. And that's when I developed the interest in it, because it's a unique field where, you know, the material itself is not really expensive, but you really have to think beyond those four walls, and you have to create something out of nothing.
Wow. And so you were in university when you did this?
Yes.
What inspires you when you're doing your art? Do you have to go into a very quiet mode, or just what inspires you?
I'm inspired by the spontaneity of life. So what I go through or what I see people go through, that inspires me. And also I'm inspired by the aspect that you can create something out of nothing. And because these objects, they really don't have any life and they have been discarded. But when I pick them up, there is hope in them because I can turn them into something. And what they helped create as a composition, they tell a different story and a story that has a purpose.
Wow.
So, and I'm beginning to add other thematic aspects in my work, because not only the material, but also the messages I portray, because recently I did an exhibition where it was a conservation exhibition, and most of the pieces I did were animal inspired, because we've reached a point where we really need to think about our biodiversity and how animals fit into our environment and how we coexist as animals and humans.
You know, it's funny that you should say that. You know, what I'm really mm-hmm. noticing, I've always noticed that animals had a love for each other. But I think it's very interesting how animals are, it's almost like they're almost human. Animals are getting closer to one another in the same way that humans have intimacy. And I'm noticing that the biodiversity is just somewhat shifting almost. It's almost like they're connecting with each other the way that human beings would have intimacy with one another, with love and with care, you know? And that they love each other and they stay with each other for long periods of time, especially like our wildcats, you know? You know, one of the things I want to ask you is, how does your work not only tell a story of climate, but about the solutions to climate? Would you tell us a little bit about that?
My work tells a story about the solutions to climate in regard to how I portray them. Because one way that we can improve the aspect that, or the situation that we are in regard to our climate, is by better waste management. So even in the first instance, you know, like the, you know, the first impression of somebody coming to look at my work, they'll be like, wow, you know, he's used this and that, and these are things that I throw away. So they start to rethink how they dispose of their waste, and they start to rethink that the solution is not only to manufacture, but we can reuse what we already have. Because also the aspect of the consumerism trends and the manufacture really contributes to the global warming, you know, and the emissions also. There's so much emission coming from the, you know, like the garbage that is disposed, and it's not disposed in the right way. So that ends up in our rivers, and we have locals drinking that river, and they are cleaning from there. So that might affect them. So at times it's not like a direct message, but it's what you see, and that starts to disturb you, and you start thinking about it, and that makes a change.
Got it. So your art actually tells the story of this. You know, I want to ask you about another thing. You know,
yes.
I don't know, does your art have anything to do with women and girl empowerment? And what are some of the thoughts you have on solutions to women and girls empowerment?
Well, I cannot really say that my art is directly involved with women and girls empowerment. But really, what I can say that should be done or is supposed to be is that everybody has an equal right to you know, to education and to work and to land and to all the privileges that men enjoy or men have enjoyed in the past. And I think as a country, we are slowly moving into that direction where we are speaking. We are speaking so loudly against. We are speaking loudly against the actions that were there before, the bad cultural practices like FGM, and I think that is a step in the right direction. And even in the aspects of abortion, where abortion is not allowed in our country, you know, because that impacts negatively on the women. But also, as we do that, we also should ensure that we have enough security so that these women are protected from rape and from abuse at home. Yes.
Okay. And I have two last questions for you. Women,
yes.
You know, they've said that women have a lot to do with the connection to climate. Okay. Where do you think women play a huge role in the climate crisis that we have today? How, because I believe that women do solve the climate crisis, okay, in some ways.
Yes.
How do you feel women fit into the climate crisis that we are dealing with today?
Well, I actually think women play a major role because women are very important in us. They are very important in our society, just like children, and women are very close to their children. And if there is a way that we can impact our future, is by empowering the women so that they can empower their children and teach them ways of loving their environment and conserving the environment, so that our future generations are secure. Because this child will grow up knowing that, you know, planting trees is good because, you know, a forest will draw rain to us, and it will have, you know, it will just have a good impact on the environment and the ecosystem.
Well, how do women, what part do you think women play in the role of agriculture and climate as well?
Agriculture, because like in our country traditionally, it's the women and the children that went to the farm mostly. Nowadays, it's not the same. And I cannot really say that they need to go back to the farm, but the role that they are playing, those that are in our rural villages, are a big impact, you know, because when you listen to a certain report that says that cows emit harmful gases, you know, to our environment, and we should tone down on raising of cattle or raising of sheep and goats that contribute to soil erosion because they eat all the roots from the ground, then they can play that role. Right now, maybe they are not really playing it because they are not enlightened in that sense, and maybe they don't have an alternative. But if it's people that can do it, it's the women.
Okay. And when you say if it's women that can do it, you know, women, as you say, do a lot of planting. Do you think
yes.
that because I think that is a role where the economics is huge because women do a lot of planting in a lot of countries. Okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
What do you feel they need more support in terms of that? Where do you see the support is needed more in that?
Because I think the support is needed that they not only need to plant, but even when they are harvesting, they need to be given the power to sell their produce. Because what happens in some communities is that most women will plant, and when it comes to harvesting, the men will take over the harvesting and they'll take the lion's share. So they need to be empowered in a sense that they can sell what they planted and they get better access to the markets that are there, you know, the agricultural markets that sell this produce, you know, and not only in their local villages, up to the cities where they can get a good return for their crop.
Okay. And my very last question is, what is one solution you think through your artwork? How do you think your artwork or anyone else's artwork, such as yours, can provide
yes.
a solution to climate action?
Uh-huh. So my artwork, I think the way and in the direction that my artwork is taking in regard to installation is through the messages that we portray and also bringing the artworks, because with installations, they are more public viewed than just in galleries. So when we take our installations to the public and they participate in creating them, and while they are creating them, they are learning something, then that is one way of impacting their minds towards thinking of changing their ways in terms of conservation and waste management.
So if I were to say that back, in other words, you're saying that when you have installations, the public can also participate with the artist. Is that correct?
Yes, sure.
And that, okay, and that helps in mind. Well, you know, Mr. Ngore, we would love to have you back on again at a time when,
yes.
of course, my co-host is not out sick, and we can have you back
awesome.
To talk more about that. And thank you so much for taking your time out, sir.
You're welcome.
All right,
thank you.
And have a wonderful day, sir.
Have a wonderful day, too. Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.